And finally, it seems clear by now that the attempted terrorist attack on Northwest Airlines Flight 253 on Christmas Day has forced America's security and intelligence agencies to reexamine the way they protect the nation. But it has also sparked soul-searching among millions around the world who look to Nigeria as their home. That's because the alleged bomber, 22-year-old Umar Farouk Abdul Muttalib, is a citizen of that nation. Nigeria has had a stable civilian government for over a decade. It has its problems, but it has long been considered an economic powerhouse on the continent and an ally of the United States. But now many proud Nigerians, those living inside that West African nation and abroad, are bristling at being lumped in with countries suspected of terrorist ties. We wanted to know more about how the Nigerian diaspora is responding to these events. We find that cultural figures often have acute insights in the wake of major events, so we called the acclaimed Nigerian author Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. She's written a great deal about the history of Nigeria and about her experience as a Nigerian living abroad, including in her most recent book, The Thing Around Your Neck, and she joined us from her home office in suburban Washington. Welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Do you remember how you heard about the Christmas Day attempt and what you thought when you heard about it?
I do remember, yes. I remember waking up and, as I usually do these days, going to my iPhone to read the New York Times. You know, my first reaction was disbelief. I remember thinking there has to be a mistake. Maybe they actually mean Algerian, not Nigerian. And then later talking about it with my husband and my parents who were visiting, and we all sort of sat in front of the TV and just in a state of surprise, really, sort of deep, profound surprise.
Why do you think you reacted that way?
I don't know. I've been thinking about it, and I think in many ways that it's how most Nigerians reacted. And I think it's because one of the stories, one of the narratives that we tell ourselves about who we are is that we don't do terror. We don't do that kind of terror, right? So we have a country that has a history of violence that is a result of politicized religion. But in some ways, I think that the idea might be that we kill one another. We don't kill foreigners. We don't do the Al-Qaeda kind of terrorism.
Mm. One of the things that interested me and that one of the reasons we called you is that often an experience feels very different to people with a knowledge of a culture, of a country, than it does to people on the outside. And I've been reading some of the reports by Nigerian press inside Nigeria and also by reporters, journalists in the diaspora. And they've raised some interesting questions about the young man's family, for example, the fact that he was the younger or youngest among the youngest of 15 children by two wives, the fact that he comes from a very wealthy and well-known family. And I just wonder, do any of those issues resonate with you or do any of those give you grist for your mill as a writer and as a person who's thought a lot about young people in Nigeria and what makes them tick and the forces that shape them?
I mean, I'm not sure that the polygamy part necessarily matters. I mean, polygamy is something that happens. It cuts across culture. And I'm not sure that coming from a family that's polygamous necessarily counts for me. I do think that there's the idea of class in Nigeria. There's the sort of the general idea that, you know, these rich people don't raise their children properly, kind of thing. And it's sort of become, for many Nigerians, the idea of the wealthy man who didn't raise his son properly so that he allowed his son to become radicalized in Yemen is very popular. Mm. And then there's the ethnic story, which is that this again becomes a reason to talk about the idea of northern domination in Nigeria. So that a lot of southerners feel that our history has been one in which Nigeria has been dominated politically by the Muslim North. What has happened has made Nigerians start to talk about these stories, and they're old stories, but in many ways that we've started to revisit them.
If you're just joining us, I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. She's a Nigerian author. Her latest book is The Thing Around Your Neck, and we're talking about the alleged Christmas Day bombing of that Northwest Airlines flight, and we're talking about the effect on Nigerians in the diaspora, the Nigerians living abroad. One of the things that Nigerians are is a people on the move. I mean, according to a citation we found in the Christian Science Monitor, admittedly a couple of years ago from 2001, there was an estimate that some 15 million Nigerians live abroad, which, if true, is a rather large number. And in fact, a number of Nigerian officials who've been called upon to speak about this have said, well, he doesn't live here. He really wasn't even raised here. He was raised outside of the country. And I do wonder, has this implicated the expatriate community in some way? Are there something about that experience of being abroad that has been called into question by this experience?
But I think what's interesting about that, though, is that if he had won a prize as a fantastic engineer or a musician or an artist, Nigerians would not talk about how he was raised abroad or how he spent time abroad. They would claim him entirely. So I think that this is the kind of thing that happens because he's done something that we're not proud of. We are very keen to insist that he really didn't spend that much time in Nigeria. I do think that there's a sense in which, again, going back to the question of class, that this is a boy who, you know, who was wealthy, who spent time abroad, who... But it's not so much the spending time abroad, I think. It is more the idea of a family who seemed to allow him to do things that other families who don't have as much money probably wouldn't have. But I did want to say something about how the story has been reported in the US press in particular. It seems [S2] Sure. [S1] To me that his nationality has been overemphasized. So for the first few days after Christmas, we just kept hearing the Nigerian man, the Nigerian man. And at some point I was going to pull my hair out if I heard one more mention of the Nigerian man.
How would you and prefer that he be described?
I think he should be the Christmas bomber, or he should be the underwear bomber, or he should be the jockstrap bomber. I mean, and you know, it's something to joke about, but on a more serious note, when you really think about how, for example, the shoe bomber has been covered, there wasn't an emphasis on his being British. Right. And then I started to think about 9/11 and how I don't think it really entered the public consciousness that most of these men who were involved in 9/11 were from Saudi Arabia, because we came to see them as the 9/11 terrorists, murderers, but not as people from Saudi Arabia. And I think the problem with doing that, emphasizing a nationality, is that you sometimes run the risk, especially when you're covering a country that's so little known, of making that the one thing, somehow suggesting that he did what he did as a result of some kind of pathology of his nationality, rather than as a result of, you know, many things that we don't entirely understand, but really have very little to do with the passport he carries.
Initially, in speaking of him, you used the word boy. You said this boy. And he's 22, which means that under the laws of this country, he is eligible to vote, to drink, to marry. If he were a citizen, he would have all the rights of a citizen. And that distinction of the use of the word boy versus man is also one that has come up in the writing about this.
I think that in general that Nigerians still, and I suppose it's because I'm 32 and I my cousin who is his age, I sort of think of as a boy, which is probably not right, but it is the way it is. And I think perhaps it's cultural. But I do think of him as a boy. There's something about his age and I suppose about my being more than 10 years older, that just makes him just seem incredibly young to me.
Do you have any, and I take it that as a writer, you often don't like to lift the door of the garage until you are quite ready. So I understand that. But I wonder, as a writer, is there something that this whole thing calls forth for you? Obviously, there are many things yet to know. So, but is there anything that this calls forth for you as a writer that you are willing to tell us about?
I don't know. And again, I find myself being very reluctant to talk about my writing. But I'm interested. I'm very interested in what this means for what this means. I'm generally, I think, interested in identity and what it means to be Nigerian and, you know, what Nigerianness means in its different permutations. I have a little story about my mother who went to the mall in a small Maryland town where I live with my husband. And my mother is visiting from Nigeria. And my mother went to the mall a few days after Christmas and she couldn't find a store. And so she said that she found a nice American woman who offered to help. And so this American woman says to her, "Oh, you must be visiting." And my mother said, "Yes." And the woman asked, "Where are you visiting from?" And my mother smiled and changed the subject and started to talk about the cold weather. And later she said that she was worried that if she said she had come from Nigeria, the American might assume that she had a bomb in her bag.
No.
And this in many ways was a joke, right? But it did happen. And it's made me become very interested in the anxieties, I think, that this has brought about in us Nigerians. To be Nigerian is to be defensive, I like to say all the time. And so we already are known for fraud and scams and corruption and now terrorism. It's like we're thinking, good Lord, we can't take one more label. And so we already have special requirements for visas to travel. I have so many stories about the things I have had to do to be allowed to get into different countries. And the idea that now that Nigerians are worried about how this affects me. So I'm also interested in that, in how this is something that is a major, major thing, but also has very small sort of trickle-down repercussions for ordinary people.
Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie is a celebrated Nigerian author. Her most recent book is The Thing Around Your Neck, and she was kind enough to join us from her home office in the Washington, D.C. area. We thank you so much for speaking with us. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too.
That's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More. Let's talk more tomorrow.